During the Cultural Revolution, however, he fought injustice himself and lost. The builders of the new China did not need his old tales, those remnants of the imperial and feudal system. They sent him to the far northeast, his teeth knocked out to silence him, to cut hay and cart manure. He escaped and lived with his family on the street for 4 years, selling artificial flowers. In 1978, he was rehabilitated, though with a mouthful of painful plastic through which he had to learn to speak again. He summed up life then in one word, endure, but it rapidly got better. In the hectic consumerist China of the late 20th century, he cut a deliberately quaint figure. On television, in plain robes, before a screen of ancient symbols, he did not move from behind his table, letting his hands, eyes, and voice paint scenes, characters, emotions, even abstractions. The young loved him as much as the old, and the government declared him an inheritor of China's intangible cultural heritage. His fans called him an eternal electric wave and an evergreen tree. Kind words, but he still worried that he had no obvious successor to carry on the oral tradition. To stave off silence, he set up a storytelling academy in Beijing, put his favourite tales into 47 books, and blogged on Sina Weibo. Yet most of that was words written down. His gravelly voice was what mattered, so much so that a channel was set up in 2005 just to keep broadcasting his stories. At an episode a day, the stock would last until 2036. Ever since the first studio performance, he had reminded China that it needed those tales after all. Despite its rush to modernity, it needed him.